And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, Donald Trump's not thrilled by the fact that the four prosecutors who resigned today left. I guess he's not happy. In fact, he tweeted out, who are the four prosecutors? Mueller people who cut and ran after being exposed for recommending a ridiculous 9-year prison sentence to a man that got caught up in an investigation that was illegal, the Mueller scam, and should have never even have started. 13 angry Democrats, question mark. There's so much there that's total BS. One, it wasn't illegal. Two, they weren't 13 Democrats, you dumbwit. And three, there was a ton to the Mueller report. In fact, there were 11 places that you could have and should have been impeached for. But just right from the start. And look, I don't think 9 years is ridiculous. But here to share some thoughts on the news of the day, our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So let's get to the Stone thing right away. 9 years too much for what he did?
Well, let me put it like this. When I got in trouble and I ended up with 30 months, I would love to have had that Justice Department coming in saying, well, we think that's too harsh. I would love to have had that. You know, take me back in time, I guess. I mean, justice and the law are a million miles apart. Each case is different. But, you know, when I looked at, what happened and all the seven counts, and if you compare sentences, frankly, I had two counts and I got 30 months. So if you make it to seven counts, I guess you could have said that's about 8 years at least if you multiply more counts than I had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it sounded perfectly reasonable to me.
Now, of 9 years, he would have done 85% of that time. Now, here's the other thing, too. I highly doubt, Rick, that the judge would have – my judge went up, but I highly doubt that the judge would have exceeded the 9 years. In fact, I will bet you that the judge left to their own sentencing would probably have done about 6.5 years, all right?
Okay.
Of which then Stone would serve 85%. Because if you look at some of the past cases, the judges have been a lot more lenient now under – what the Justice Department recommends in the first place.
Yeah, but this case, I think, is a little different. I look at this Judge Berman, and she, she's had, fits with Roger Stone. He's violated her orders a couple of times.
Right.
There's been a bunch of stuff there, and there's part of me that goes, maybe she gives him 10.
Well, I still think her, judicial prudence would have probably, it might have went 9, but it might have went 7. I don't think she would... As mad as she was at him and the things he did do to her, obviously you don't want to do to a judge, I still think she probably was, common sense enough that she wouldn't have exceeded probably the 9, but she'd have got somewhere close. I was shocked because, to have prosecutors who recommend officially leave the case, four of them, obviously they were very distressed, and obviously, the tweet made a difference to them, didn't it?
Yeah.
In the sense of, not to them, but somebody higher up. I mean, somebody pulls the string on this, and it goes up above the head of political corruption that makes these cases.
So now, should there be an investigation into this? I mean, is this something, if you're back in Congress, that you look into?
Well, I think what they could do is they can make a direct inquiry, rather than just full-scale investigation that starts the hearing process. I think they need to make an inquiry, official saying, who above, made the decision. For example, the decision to put me, into prison was made by Alice Fisher, and she sent it right up the flagpole to Alberto Gonzalez. Those two, made the decision. So as far as this case, I think they could ask legitimately the question, and then maybe if it's not answered, they could investigate and ask the question, who called the order? Somebody did, and you can bet it wasn't the public corruption section, but somebody above them. And I think it's a very legitimate question. Why not answer it? If it's the attorney general, he needs to say, I did it. I looked at it, and it's in my prerogative, and I did it.
Does that happen often? I mean, have you heard of this happening before?
Well, it can, but I'm trying to rack my brain. Normally, what the public corruption section comes out with, the attorney general, goes with. And now that can go hand in hand with the attorney general, but I really can't remember a lot of direct, hey, we're going to pull this sentence back. I can't, Rick. I can't recall a case. And this is extremely unusual because this was headed to the final run. You know, if you're going to do this, you do this in the debating area. For example, when the government called my lawyers, they started, we want 12 years. My lawyers are laughing, hanging the phone up, you know. And then they call back, we want 4 years. Well, you know, we're not going to do more than Jack did. Jack made $83 million. You know, I didn't. And so this is how this realistically goes back and forth. Now, somewhere in the Justice Department, above the public corruption section in my case, they knew what they wanted to do. They came back with the final agreed to. So this was agreed to. These lawyers and justice wouldn't have went out there and said 9 years without the nod of everybody. But somebody changed that. So the nod that said yes turned around and said no. And I think it's very legitimate to ask who made that nod.
Yeah.
It sure wasn't the four lawyers on the case.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, to me, this is another one of those moments where you just look at this administration and how corrupt it appears. And look, this looks like corruption to me. And you put this in the same light as on Friday firing Alexander Vindman and his brother. Now, of course, National Security Advisor O'Brien is saying they weren't fired, Bob. They were just rotated out early. And someone else is going to take their position, which to me is the definition of being fired. You were taken from a job you were supposed to be doing. Somebody else is replacing you. To me, that's being fired.
Well, now, if you look at the three cases, Vindman and then, of course, the general and his brother, and then you look at this Roger Stone case, I think the most outrageous of the three is the Roger Stone case, only in the sense that an ambassador can be recalled. You know, they don't like the way he brushes his hair, you know. Whether it's right or wrong, they can do that. And somebody in the White House, you know, whether they're qualified or not, which he was on Ukraine issues, they can technically do it. It doesn't look good. Not a good thing to do, but they can do it. This one is the worst of the three, I think, because, you know, they've got a sentence they all agreed upon as a Justice Department that all of a sudden, as it's headed into the court, somebody says, no, I don't think we're going to do that. We're not going to do that now.
Yeah.
That one is very, very hard to explain at all.
It just seems odd to me because, you know, Trump could, at the as he's leaving office, could easily just commute his sentence, could grant him clemency, could pardon him. There's a lot he could do without having the Justice Department jump in the middle of this. It just seems like creating a storm for people to pay attention to.
I mean, Rick, he could get elected, and then the day after he's elected, he could commute it.
Exactly.
You know? And say, well, Roger Stone sat for 9 months. It's enough. He's old, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Let's hope that Trump is not reelected. So I wanted to get some of your thoughts on tonight's primary. Any initial reactions coming out of New Hampshire?
Yes. If I were Elizabeth Warren, I would be worried. Now, I understand you got Iowa and New Hampshire, and it's early, quote, but there's some dynamics in this race, including the money of Bloomberg, that's just not your regular old standard primary, right?
Yeah.
And reason I say about Elizabeth Warren, Rick, this is her backyard. You know,
literally.
Literally, it's her backyard. Now, Bernie, I expected him to do good, but Bernie is really kind of right now with the 65% of the polling in, pretty neck and neck. He's ahead, but Buttigieg is breathing down his, you know, neck, and so is Amy Klobuchar breathing down Buttigieg's neck. But I think for Warren and Biden, because now two have dropped out, you know, Yang being one of them. But for Warren and Biden, they better do good, although Nevada is going to be owned by Sanders. So it's number two that Biden and Warren have to be looking at in South Carolina and Nevada, because after that it's Super Tuesday. And if they don't do a good showing, they meaning Warren and Biden, the money is not going to be there, especially for Biden, because he's got, you know, interest money, PAC money and things too. And it's not going to be there until he shows somewhere. And this is getting tricky. Obviously, it shows, you know, Buttigieg has been under a big time attack. I've been reading articles all over the place, op-eds in the New York Times, Washington Post, et cetera, all hitting Buttigieg, and he just still continues to be there. So normal case, I would say, well, this is early, but for Biden and Warren, if I'm their strategy people, Rick, I got to be sitting down tomorrow saying we need to not fumble from this point on.
Yeah, and look, all Biden has been doing is fumbling. Did you get the dog pony face soldier thing, whatever that
John
comment
Wayne.
Was?
Yeah, John Wayne. But, you know, look, I know Trump called, what did he call? Look at that face of Carly Farina. You know, I know he said something, you know, about her face. but that's Trump. And the question is, does Biden want to be in that same category? And I know he wasn't calling her a pony face liar, but he called her a pony face liar. You see what I mean? It's just, yeah, he's watched some John Wayne movies, and man, he's got to not do that again. That just, look, somebody criticized you at town halls. That's what you're paid to do. That's what you're in the race to do. You know, somebody stands up. Look at Obama. People would stand up and say things, you know, you got to keep your cool. Now, you can defend yourself. Sure. You can defend yourself. But when they kind of just ask a question like she did, you got to, you know, smooth it a little bit.
Yeah, I just, he's not on his game. And
no.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Nevada and South Carolina, because at some point, you know, he's gonna have to go, as is Elizabeth Warren. And I said, look, from the beginning, I didn't think Warren could win, you know, for a couple of reasons. But ultimately, I think this is going to come down to, you know, the handful of Sanders, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar, maybe Klobuchar. But I see Bloomberg popping into that space, which really scares me, because I see Bloomberg as probably the worst of all options.
Well, you know, something about Bloomberg. I have a really good friend of mine. He's really sharp in politics. He's been around a long time, very eloquent, et cetera. And he put out a piece today about why he's Democrat all the way through and through. And he put out a piece today why the Democratic Party should embrace Bloomberg. And he said, yeah, Pete's nice and cute and sweet, blah, 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 but Bloomberg is our sugar daddy. He said that. And he's spending $4,000 a day. The problem with Bloomberg is, yeah, he's got money. I understand that. But he wasn't part of the – he waited. He wasn't part of the ground run. He wasn't part of the debate. You know, he waited. And number two, I don't know, just – I'm trying to put my mindset into a Democratic voter this election, and I just don't know how you vote for a billionaire guy, a real billionaire. I understand that, but I don't know. I just don't see him. You know, he was an R, he was a D, he was an I, you know. I don't see it, but he's got money.
Yeah, he's got money, and he's spending it like crazy. I actually know several people who are working on different parts of his campaign, and paying.
Right.
They're being paid through November, guaranteed through November, at amounts that are just mind blowing. Digital strategies.
Oh, I thought about putting my resume out there. You know, I could be very independent thinking.
Yeah. $25,000 a month. I've heard some people get it. I'm going, you know, sign me up. Where do I get one of those gigs?
Exactly.
But again, my fear is, you know, you end up getting, you know, to being just, you know, less worse than Trump.
Right. And here's the other thing. I understand, you know, in any primary, people will go at each other. I fully understand that. The one thing that I've been watching are, I call them regular earthlings, people that are, you know, voting Democrat. They're friends of mine. They're not activists. They're not politicos, right?
Right.
And I'm watching some of them have extreme hostility still going back to Hillary Clinton against Bernie, for example. And then Hillary came out and made that statement, and now you've got Sanders people very, very angry at, quote, the establishment, and they blame Biden. And I'm looking at some of that, and I'm like, okay, that stuff has to go – that has to be set backwards. I mean, whoever wins, they can't have the animosity. Well, Hillary did this. Bernie didn't do that. You know, that's got to go away.
No, you're right. And, you know, Martin O'Malley, you know, the former, I guess, mm-hmm. mayor of Baltimore, wasn't he governor of Maryland as well?
Right, right.
You know, he put out a tweet, you know, saying just that, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, Bernie didn't do enough. But the reality is Bernie did far more events for Hillary than Martin O'Malley did.
Well, true. And then the other thing is this. You know, I understand, and I don't want to insult anybody who cares about immigration here. I understand immigration. I understand the issue. I understand borders. I understand, you know, legal immigration. Trump's trying to kill it and the whole nine yards. I fully get that. But kitchen table, kitchen table, kitchen table. bread and butter, you know, working issues, yep. union, on and on. That's got to come to the forefront because, you know, you just can't make the whole campaign the devil, Donald Trump, and, you know, undocumented people and sanctuary cities. They've got to move on and get to the kitchen table.
Yep. And no, as much as James Carville is on my nerves right now, he was right. Oh, yeah. It's the economy, stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be dislodged. Look, in a heartbeat, you got the virus. A lot of things can happen. We don't know where the economy is going to be. But, you know, somebody's got to convince people that, you know, yeah, the economy's good, but it can be better because our plan is better for
right.
working people.
No, you're spot on.
Our plan puts more money into the pockets of working people because now people are having to get two jobs to pay for their normal bills. So, I mean, there's a lot of room there for this issue, and I'm just kind of waiting for that spark to come out of the candidate that kind of grabs it, you know. I'm waiting.
No, I'm with you as well. And hopefully some of that will break through. But it just seems like every day Trump comes up with something to steal the news cycle. And this Stone thing for me was what was it today.
I couldn't believe it. When I saw it, again, I was putting myself in the shoes of, gee, I wish my prosecutors came out, or not prosecutors, but somebody in justice would have said, well, now, wait a minute. Yeah, wait. We want a little less for Bob. I was thinking, wow, that would be remarkable.
That most certainly would.
It's so weird what happened, Rick. It's weird. I mean, I think they have the right to know, you know, who ordered what. I mean, it's no secret. There is a system in justice. There's a system of how they work these things.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it plays out. But, Bob, mm-hmm. I appreciate you taking some time,
Thank you.
Some thoughts. Good stuff, as always.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney talked. And look, you know, when I look at this, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, he's right. It's the economy, stupid. It's about the kitchen table stuff. And with Buttigieg saying we're going to look at debt reduction, to me, that's a non-starter right from the word go. Anyway, quick break. Right back.
Saving work.